Hello everyone, thank you very much for having me here. So Sam already spoiled the title, so thank you. Just a bit of context, so I am now working as an experimental postdoc in Nottingham with Silke, but I did my PhD in Glasgow with Maria Chiara and Daniele Faccio. And I'm going to talk to you today about some of the work I took part in during my PhD, so which is, as you said. So we start from like, so everybody knows what Perron's superradiance is. So we have the rotating black hole. So we have an ergo region, and we have an object that's split into two parts when it hits the ergo region. So one is reflected and amplified, which is the so-called positive energy mode. But one, at the same time, is trapped inside the ergo region, and it's the negative mode. So we have observed this rotational superradiance in some analog systems, such as nonlinear optics, then acoustics, hydrodynamics, and so on. And in this case, we look at a superfluid of light, which is a system where the... So the analogy is based on the fact that the Bogoliubov excitations act as the particles in the Penrose superradiance picture. So we start, since we are in nonlinear optics, we start from a monochromatic optical beam propagating in a self-defocusing thermal nonlinear medium, which is whose... Schrödinger equation can be written in the paraxial approximation as it follows. We can actually rewrite this equation in terms of three constants here, alpha, beta, and t. And in order to show the the connection with hydrodynamics, we rewrite the electrical field in terms of a density rho and a phase phi, so using the Madelung transform, so that the nonlinear Schrödinger equation can be expressed as a continuity equation and an Euler equation for an incompressible fluid with all the quantities defined as follows. So photon fluid, because the 2D transverse part of the electric field evolves as a fluid, while the Z coordinate is a time-like, is rewritten as a time-like coordinate. So every single frame of the 2D evolution of the electric field corresponds to a time evolution of the system. So if we keep the quantum pressure term in the equation, we can consider the introduction of small perturbation psi on top of the background field, which already solves the equation, having a total field written as E0 multiplied by 1 plus this psi. This new field still solves the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. So if we then put this expression of the total field back into the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, we obtain the Bogoliubov Degen equations, from which we have stationary along Z solutions written as a term psi s and psi I, which are which correspond to the signal and idler modes. So, and these, it can be shown that these elementary excitations correspond to, follow actually the Bogoliubov dispersion for superfluidity, and so we have what's called a superfluid of light. We need now, since we are in nonlinear optics, to have a strong pump field, which mimics the rotating black hole, and a weak signal or probe field, which propagates towards the ergo region and then interacts nonlinearly with the pump field. So we consider a pump as a vortex beam with an orbital angular momentum L, which is stationary along Z, because we want the rotating black hole background to be pretty much constant along the propagation Z, which can be written in terms of, yeah, this expression here. So we have the background IL, and we have an expression for the vortex profile. Written in terms of the vortex core size RL, and a pump wave vector contribution, which will appear in the later in the phase matching condition for the system. Then we consider a weak signal field in the same way, and so in this case with a OEM charge N. So at the end of the nonlinear interaction, we'll have a mix of the background field, so the pump, the signal field, and if the nonlinear interaction has taken place, also the idler field. So if we write explicitly in terms of OEMs all these three fields, we can consider an expression for the OEM of the new idler field Q, in terms of the pump and probe OEMs. So in this case, Q is actually twice the OEM of the pump minus the OEM of the probe. So we substitute this expression into the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. We linearize in signal and idler field, and we obtain two propagation equations for the amplitudes of signal and idler fields along Z, where we see the contribution given by the interaction with the pump, so the term that's dependent of beta L U L squared, but also we see in each of the equations, so for instance, in the propagation equation for the signal, we see a term depending on the idler, which is what I'll show is the so-called source term. So we have, for every single step of the propagation of one field, we have a contribution given by the other field. This is basically a parametric interaction that arises from a four-wave mixing process. And now we need, so the novelty of this investigation is that we use a Noether current approach to study, to actually determine whether Penrose superradiance has taken place, so whether the amplification of the signal and the trapping of the idler have taken place. So we start from the symmetry associated with the propagation equations, which I will not show, but so the propagation equations have a conserved charge N, which depends on the total energy of the Bogoliubov modes ES and EI, with a conserved current J0, which is the difference between the intensity of the signal and the intensity of the idler. From this, the charge can be written by partially integrating this current J0 on an annular region centered at the vortex of the pump. This is constant along Z. So from this, we can construct reflection and transmission coefficient for the scattering of the pump ergo region, defined by the ergo radius. So the radius of the ergo region generated by the pump, which is given by the area where the flow speed of the system is equivalent to the speed of sound in the medium. So we write the reflection coefficient for as an integral of this J0 on this annular region from the ergo region to infinity, and at the same time, transmission is from zero, so from the origin, to the ergo region. So from this, we derive that superradiance occurs when, so we identify the occurrence of superradiance by extracting the current, the values of the current J0. So if we have a negative value of J0 inside the ergo region, so if we go back to the expression, this means that the intensity of the idler is greater than the intensity of the signal. So that means that there has been the trapping of the idler field inside the ergo region. At the same time, if we have outside of the ergo region a signal that is greater than the idler, we have a J0 that's greater than one, actually, sorry, greater than zero. And because since we have a parametric interaction, we have we must satisfy the sum of reflection and transmission equal to one for every step C. So if we have the amplification of the signal, which means a reflectivity greater than one, we must have transmission smaller than zero. So from numerical simulations given by a previous paper by Maria Chiara and Daniele, we can see, for instance, that along Z, so this is like just a slide at Y equals zero of the intensity of the signal and the intensity of the idler propagating towards the ergo region of the pump, which is the dashed white line. So we see that when the signal is approaching the, has approached the ergo region and then is scattered, at the same time, along Z, we see the generation of the intensity of the idler inside the ergo region, so that is trapped. We can also look at the current J0 as a function of the radial coordinate, and we see that I haven't actually traced the dashed white line for the ergo region, but we see that inside the ergo region, we have a negative current J0, and outside, we have a positive current. This can also be seen in terms of the reflection and transmission coefficient. So after the four-way mixing process has taken place, we see that we have, if we have super radiants, we have reflectivity greater than one, and at the same time, a negative transmittance. So now that we know how to extract super radiants from the Noether current J0, we need to trap the Adler. And to do so, we start from an expression for the signal as a loosely focused Lager-Gauss beam that's moving towards the ergo region of the pump. We have it loosely focused because we want the size of the signal to be pretty much the same size of the ergo region. So it's closer and can be actually scattered and amplified. So it can be written in terms of an amplitude for the Lager-Gauss mode and also a signal phase variation that's caused by the overlap between the pump and the signal. And also we can obtain an expression for the signal wave vector shift, which depends on the nonlinear contribution in the wave vector from the pump. But since we, the whole four-wave mixing takes place around zero, which is the focal point for the focusing signal. So we can approximate the delta Ks around zero as this expression here, and this can actually be evaluated numerically to consider the conditions for super radiance to occur. We then insert this expression into the propagation equation for the idler, and which can be rearranged, as we see, in terms of a term that depends on the wave vector contribution from the pump, which is the so-called wave guiding term. So we have basically we have a 2D refractive index that's generated by the pump that's trapping the idler inside the ergo region. So basically we have a cross-phase modulation that's induced by the pump. But we also have, inside the propagation of the idler, we have a term that depends on the conjugate of the signal field. So we have a so-called source term. And this is because we have a parametric interaction between signal and idler. So for every single step Z, we have a contribution given by the other field. From this, we consider, in the same fashion, we consider an expression for the idler field in terms of a Lager-Gauss mode, U, and again, a wave vector, delta K, which depends on the pump wave vector, and a term, lambda, which can be obtained by solving the eigenvalue equation for the Lager-Gauss mode, U. So this can actually be evaluated numerically, and that's what's been done, what was done to actually consider the different conditions for super radiance to occur. So if we have an eigenvalue that's bigger than zero, then we have super radiance because we have the trapping of the idler, and we have a positive value of the wave vector shift for the idler. So again, we insert the expressions of the amplitude for signal and idler into the propagation equation of the idler, and we obtain from this an expression for the average wave vector shift of of signal and idler, and which, as we consider here, with this in the same way, so because we consider again that the four-wave mixing is happening around zero, around z equals zero, so we have an expression of delta k in terms of the betahel contribution from the pump and the eigenvalue of this equation here from the idler. So as a general phase matching condition, we consider delta k equals zero in order to have super radiance, so which means we need to, so that we have the amplification of the signal and the trapping of the idler mode inside the ergo region. So, but we can rewrite these wave vector shifts, delta k, in terms of frequency shifts. And from this, we observe that these frequency shifts, I'm not showing this, so correspond to phononic modes in the transverse plane, so as in a 2D fluid. So, but we know that so from the general solution to the Bogle-Yup of the Gen equation, we know that the omega, the frequency of the signal is equal to the frequency of the idler, so we call it simply omega. And we have also a general expression for the frequency of the pump in terms of the difference between the OEM charges of signal and pump and the rotational frequency of the pump itself. From this, we can rewrite delta omega as the frequency of the signal or the idler minus m times capital omega, which is the so-called Zeldovich-Misner condition. So from this, since we know that capital omega and small omega are positive, we, in order to satisfy this condition, we also need m to be greater than zero. So we need to have an OEM charge of this signal to be greater than the OEM charge of the pump. So to summarize the conditions for superradiance, we have the phase matching condition given by the Zeldovich-Misner condition. So delta omega has to be negative, or at the same time, delta k has to be positive. The guide, the idler modes that are guided inside the ergo region by the wave guiding potential have to be positive, have to be a wave vector shift that's positive. And also, the OEM charge of the signal has to be greater than the OEM charge of the pump. The first two conditions can be evaluated numerically, and the third condition simply by selecting the proper combination of OEMs for pump and probe or signal at the same time. So going to the experiment, this is a small sketch of how the interaction works. So we enter the nonlinear medium with a pump and a signal. Then that's the signal, again, is loosely focusing onto the center of the system. So if four-wave mixing takes place, we have the generation of an idler mode that's trapped inside the ergo region. Then we extract the output plane of the nonlinear medium, and we place it onto the plane of a camera where it interacts with a reference beam. And from this, using a technique that's called digital holography, we extract information on the phase of the mixed beam, of the mixed field. So in insets, we see, for instance, we see an experimental pump, an experimental probe, and here the combined interacting field at the output plane of the sample that's interfering with the reference. So this is a sketch of the experiment. So we start with a 532 nanometer continuous wave laser that's split into pump and probe. So pump and probe are independently collimated and shaped in phase using a spatial light modulator. Then, in addition to this, the pump has a focusing lens on top of it so that it loosely focuses at the center of the nonlinear medium, which is a mix of methanol and graphene flakes, which gives low absorption and a certain value of the nonlinear coefficient N2. Then we verify the conditions for superradiance that four-way mixing occurs. We take the output plane of this nonlinear sample onto the camera, and we make it interact with a reference beam. From this, we can then, using this digital holography technique, we go into Fourier plane when we extract one of the two lobes out of the transverse k equals zero part. We bring this then this lobe into direct space, and we obtain a complex matrix whose amplitude and phase are the amplitude and phase of the target beam at the output plane of the sample. So for instance, this one is the pump with an OEM equal to one, so we see the phase step in here. And by using Laguerre-Gauss decomposition, we simply extract the contributions from different OEMs, and we see here that we sent simply OEM equal to one, and that's basically what we see. So this decomposition works in terms of, by constructing the weights WJP, which quantify the contribution into the mixed field from a single Laguerre-Gauss mode, and are constructed as an integral in the plane, x and y, of the Laguerre-Gauss mode multiplied by the conjugate of the mixed field. So we simply construct these weights in here using the general expression for the Laguerre-Gauss mode. And from this, we can reconstruct the experimental single Laguerre-Gauss modes with an OEM charge J by integrating over the radial components P, the weights multiplied by the corresponding Laguerre-Gauss modes. So from this, for instance, we can see a pump with an OEM equal to one We reconstruct the amplitude, the phase, and the contribution from the OEM equal to 1. Same for probe with OEM equal to 2. We see, again, not one step in phase, but we see 2. And again, we see the contribution in n equal to. In the case of linear evolution, so we have no four-wave mixing, we see the propagation of both pump and signal without interacting in the field. So we see, in the smaller part, we see the two steps, and as we go out, as we go with higher values of P, we see just the OEM equal to 1 contribution. And in the Laguerre-Gauss decomposition, again, we see OEM equal to 1 from the pump and OEM 2 from the probe. So we repeat the experiment for two powers of the pump, so the two rows, and for three values of the power of the signal with different combinations of OEM. And from this, okay, we reconstruct the experimental J0 network current, and we plot it as a function of the radial coordinate. And we see that we have super radians in three cases, so B, E, and F. Because in these three cases, we satisfy all three super radiance conditions. And we see from the experimental value J0 that this is negative inside the ergo region and positive outside. But in addition to this, for instance here, we can see that for smaller values of R outside of the ergo region, J0 is still negative. That means that, as it's been verified by numerical simulations, this four-wave mixing takes place also in the transient regime, so where the signal is in the vicinity of the ergo region. And in the insets, you can see the reconstructed experimental transverse intensities for signal on the left and idler on the right. So from the currents J0, if we then integrate them partially from the ergo region to infinity, we can obtain the experimental values of the reflection coefficient for all the same experimental conditions. And we see that for the cases B, E, and F, we have a value of the reflection coefficient that's bigger than 1. So we have the amplification of the signal while it is scattered outside of the ergo region, but at the same time, we have the trapping of the idler mode. So we have to verify numerically, so to compare the experimental results with numerics. So we do this by reconstructing the spectra of the idler mode by solving the eigenvalue equation for the Laguerre-Gauss mode U for the idler, where that's evolving according to the wave guiding potential delta n that depends on the pump. And again, as I said, if the eigenvalue lambda is positive, that means that we can have the trapping of the idler mode. But since we have an experiment, we have considered a parametric situation, so no dissipation, no absorption. But in the experiment, we have to consider noise, we have to consider losses. So we verify that this physics, so the physics of the pair of super radiance, takes place even if in the case of small losses, because we verify by numerically evaluating the nonlinear Schrodinger equation in the presence of small losses, which correspond to an absorption coefficient that corresponds to our experimental sample. We verify that the expressions of the reflection and transmission coefficients and the values of the values obtained in the different cases are verified. So the physics holds even in the case of small losses. So you can see in the big table that there's been a comparison for different combinations of the OEMs. We have to verify the three super radiance condition. So we see in the row number 2, 5, and 6 are the ones where we have observed super radiance. So the three conditions are verified. And so then the experimental values of the reflection coefficients are compared with two different numerical simulations. So with beam propagation method and the full nonlinear Schrodinger equation. And we see that in all cases, we have a reflectivity greater than one, even though there is a bit of discrepancy between the actual value of the numerical reflectivity and the actual experimental reflectivity. But that's because in the experiment, we have noise and, again, losses. And in this case, noise is critical because if the pump and the signal are not well aligned, then we have, so when we reconstruct the OEM, so the Lager-Gauss contributions from the mixed field at the end of the interaction, we see that some OEMs can be misplaced in other values of the Lager-Gauss mode. So basically, so noise and alignment are very critical. But nonetheless, we have observed super radiance in a nonlinear optical analog, where we have the amplification of a signal that's scattered from the ergo region of the rotating background. And at the same time, we have the trapping of the an idler mode through a cross-phase modulation that's induced by the waveguiding term of the pump. In addition to this, we see this super radiance, as I said, also in the transient regime, so where also where the signal is still approaching the ergo region of the pump. And so this is the paper that came out from this collaboration. We are really happy about it. And okay, 2 minutes left. So I would like just to thank Maria Chiara and Daniele for supporting me in this work, and also Silk and Tony for giving me the opportunity to keep on working on stuff as a postdoc. So thank you.
Thanks, Riley, for the nice talk. We've got loads of time for questions. Nice. There's actually an extra, you finished 10 minutes early there, so I'm going to abuse my power as speaker to ask the first one.
Yes.
So if you have an orbital angular momentum in the vortex beam greater than one, then this, I believe this idler mode can get trapped inside the vortex core, and this is precisely the same thing that leads to this vortex beam splitting up in two like it did in what I was talking about.
Yes.
But we did another study where we saw that if you put basically a mirror around the vortex, which is of the same size-ish as the vortex core, you can get these vortices traveling outwards and then coming back in together. And this seems like a very nice system to actually probe that behavior. So I was wondering, is there a way of putting a reflective mirror around this vortex that would bounce the probe beam back inwards?
We hadn't considered that, I think. So the sample is a liquid mixture of methanol and graphene. So might be possible to actually have a reflective surface inside. So maybe, I don't know, maybe can talk about this with Maria Chiara later, because I don't want to involve her now. So maybe, I don't know if we had considered such a thing.
Yeah, sure. So if you put a reflective mirror around the vortex, which is the same size-ish as the core, so within a factor of 10 or 20 or some order like this, then you get these vortices which want to split up, but then because of the finite size of the system, they want to come back in together again, so they sort of bounce in and out. And your system seems like a nice way of probing that if the size of your system is comparable to the size of the core of the vortex. So is that something you could implement in an experiment, a small reflective mirror around the vortex?
Around the core.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Just because of, as Radi is saying, this is a liquid.
Mm.
So I would have to think about how to create such a... Maybe if you put another beam, you could. I don't have it in mind like just now, but it is something that I think could be thought. So this is a liquid, so you actually create everything with the beam itself. So you create the nonlinear profile. So maybe by engineering another beam, you could be able to put a reflectivity, to increase the reflectivity around the core in order to, sort of compress it. Mm. Somehow is this is what you're talking about, such that you put a confinement there. Maybe using another beam at a different frequency, such that it doesn't interact with the beam that it's propagating with a different polarization, you could be able to engineer that. It's an interesting question.
Any other questions?
Is there anything interesting to see in the quantum optics, in the photons themselves?
This is basically classical, so my answer would be, I don't know. Probably yes. You look like, you mean like just extraction of single photons from the ergo region. So like,
yeah.
So we need to... Maybe that can be done in superfluid helium. I don't know.
You have photons here.
No, yeah, but still, like, we... No. We have considered the system to be entirely classical, so it might not be in the condition to say that this can be transferred, like, trivially into the quantum regime.
Can I ship just a remark on this? Yes, you could be able to do that, but not with this system, in the sense that you need to change the nonlinear material. This is non-local, so you wouldn't be able to see quantum effects here. But if you'd be able to do it local, so with a non-thermal medium, so like vapors, rubidium vapors, then yes. However, so in principle, yes, experimentally very challenging, because what you would do is like you would be able to see, you want to be able to see a single photon on a huge background of photons, because it's nonlinear, so it's very challenging. I don't think it can be done just now, maybe in the future. I don't know. Yeah. It's something I get a thought about some time ago, but I don't think it's experimentally viable just now. Maybe.
I mean, there's a group in Paris, Alberto Bramati. No, is it setting up with rubidium vapors?
Yeah, Maxine.
So they are trying to see the quantum equivalent, as far as I understand, and they're setting it up now and got some first results on the background flows, and then next stages are to see if they can push it, as far as I understood, into the quantum regime.
Okay, if there's no more questions, I guess we can break for lunch. Let's thank Radhi again.